Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Do some, you know, you want? Can I tell you something like really weird and nerdy and dorky about me? Is that okay? When I was like 5 years old, don't ask me why, but when I was 5 years old, I just decided that I was going to learn all of the presidents in order. And I did at 5 years old, which was really, really weird. But the presidents went up to like Ronald Reagan, so that's how old I am at that point. So anyway, like I learned all that stuff because I didn't have the internet and I didn't have a Nintendo and I didn't have any of that stuff because it was a long, long time ago. So that was what that's what you had to do for fun when you were like my age, when you were real little, is you had to learn like the presidents, and then you had to learn like the states and the capitals, and that's like weird nerdy stuff that I used to do. So I'm a huge dork. So just to like full disclosure of what's going on. Hey, let's do a little bit of like recap, because you know is it Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday morning. It's a little bit early, and let's do a little bit of recap. Going way back to Sunday night, our first word was what? Man, you all are awesome. Can I take you all back to Indiana and you guys can be my students this year? Okay. Second word was? Blessing. Last night's word was? Do. Okay. All right. You guys are killer. How about we talk about where exit number one is in this room? Okay. Let's just get loose a little bit. Where's exit number two? All right. You guys are awesome. Let's keep moving in the book of James. Now we are into chapter two. We just closed out chapter 1, now we're into chapter 2. We are in the first 13 verses of chapter 2. This is a very wobbly music stand. I'm going to try to grab a better one next time. All right. And let's read the first 13 verses together in chapter 2. A lot of stuff going on in here. And here's the thing about the Bible, is that you can read 13 verses, and if there's 200 of us in here, there could be a bunch of different things that jump out to us. So that's why when we all did get together in one group, I'm just picking one thing out of here to kind of focus us in on. But there's a bunch of stuff that we could look at in all parts of God's Word. So I'm just picking one word for us to try to concentrate on so that we can kind of get the most out of this book of the Bible for the week. So there might be some stuff that I miss here or there, but it's not because I don't think it's important. It is 100% important. I'm just going to pull one word out for us to focus in on, all right? Sound good? All right, let's read these first 13 verses. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, say somebody comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the other one, you go stand over there or go sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show you that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't those the ones who slander Jesus, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws except one is as guilty as a person who's broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but don't commit adultery, you've still broken the law. There's a lot going on. Don't worry. We'll just pick one piece and focus in on it. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you'll be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Woo! A lot of stuff going on here. A lot of stuff to read. You're like, man, it's not even 10:30. This is a lot of things to make my brain hurt this morning. James starts out by saying, hey, this is kind of following up from last night. Remember we said, it's not just enough for us to read the Bible or to hear the Bible spoken about. We have to do what it says. So James starts, he picks up off that, where that ended and said, How can you claim to follow Jesus if you are showing favoritism to certain people over others? And then gives us this example, which is a little weird to us because we're 2,000 years on the other side of this being written. But back in those days, the fancier a person looked, then you're like, ooh, this person must have money. This person must have influence. This person must have power. And so when you had a gathering, there was what was called the chief seat. Think of it as like if you were going to a concert and you got like the front row ticket, which meant you spent a lot of money or you stood in line a long time to get right up front, so you got the most important seat. And so in these gatherings, they would say, ooh, the closest seats are for the best people. And then the seats in the back are for the people who are okay and you're welcome here, but you're a little bit skeezy, you're a little bit gross, you smell bad, so you got to stay over in the back. So that's kind of what he's talking about here. And he's like, if somebody comes in, and keep in mind, he's talking about like a church gathering. And that right there should make you say, man, that's kind of messed up that you came to church based on how you look. We're just like, perhaps you will find it most comfortable in the very back there based on how you look and how you smell. Maybe you should be in the back corner. Maybe you should be hiding behind the wall in the back corner. Maybe you should be out in the parking lot and maybe you can pick up the church service out there. Like, we're basing it on how somebody looks or on their appearances. And then James, a few verses later, brings us back to what he calls this royal law in God's word. Now remember, James is whose brother? He's Jesus' brother. And so I would absolutely bet that at some point he has heard Big Brother give this statement when somebody came up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, what is the most important command in the scripture? And they're expecting Jesus to say something like, don't kill anybody, or don't cheat on your wife, don't commit adultery, or, you know, don't steal something that doesn't belong to you. And then Jesus says, do you want to know what the most important commandment is in Scripture? He starts by first saying, the most important commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he goes, but then the second one is just as important. Love your neighbor, meaning other people, the same way that you love yourself. So he says that's the most important commandment. So James at some point has heard Big Brother say that along the way, and that's getting back into his letter here. So he says, remember, you have to follow this royal law in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. So that brings us to question number one, which is always, what? Love. So if we had ask, and we had blessing, and we had do, now we are talking about love. This is our fourth word for this week. Now, this word, love, has become a whole thing these days. This has become a whole thing, and it has been overused, misused, abused, confused, to where we have a hard time knowing what it is. So for this room today, and for this scripture and the stuff that we're talking about, when we are talking about love the way that James is talking about it here in the Bible, I want you to think of love in this way. James is saying, if we're following this law that says love other people, love your neighbor in the way that you would love yourself, meaning I want to treat myself well, right? When they put the food out in the morning, I'm not just like, I'm just going to grab like one little piece of egg here. I saw a bro going through the line that had like 27 pieces of bacon on his plate this morning. It was like Mount Bacon on top of his plate. And I was like, all right, you do you, man. So I'm going to take care of myself. And so Jesus is saying, hey, love other people the same way you take care of yourself. So in that sense, let's talk about love in wanting God's best for somebody else. I'll say it again. Think of love as wanting God's best for somebody else. James says if you're doing that, if you are loving your neighbor as yourself, then you are wanting God's best for somebody else. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. But man, It is hard to want God's best for somebody else because just like James's illustration, we are so judgy. We are so judgy about stuff. Middle schoolers, first of all, let's take a quick survey. How many in here, just for my campers, how many in here are, because it's the grade you're going into this fall, right? So how many are going into fifth grade? Show of hands. Okay, sixth grade? Seventh? Eighth? All right, here's the thing, guys. And I know this because I've been there, and everybody in here who's a cabin helper or cabin leader or staff person, we've all been there. This is when you start getting at your judgiest. My camp staff, you guys agree with me? You start getting at your judgiest when you're in middle school. You start judging people based on how they look, how they dress, what they're doing, who they like, who they don't like. We make judgments on all kinds of stuff. I found this list kind of funny. Just listen, hear this out here. So for my teenagers, and that's roughly all of you. Some of you are like preteen or headed towards that way. This could be any reason that you would judge somebody in middle school. You guys ready? Here's a list. You're short. You're skinny. You have a bad haircut. Your voice is weird. You look pale. You're a guy. You're a girl. You wear t-shirts every day. You never wear t-shirts. Your favorite color is blue. You don't have a favorite color. Your favorite day of the week is Tuesday. You like iPhones more than Androids. You like Androids more than iPhones. You have big hands. You have big feet. You have small hands. You have small feet. Your name is weird. Your name is foreign. You have a sister. You have siblings. You have no siblings. You like to read. You don't like to read. You try hard in school. You fail at school. You have acne. You have short arms. You have short legs. You have long arms. You have long legs. You have a big nose. You wear glasses. Your shoes are terrible. You don't have fast internet. You've never read Harry Potter. You've read Harry Potter too much. You've never read a book. You wear socks with sandals. Your favorite fruit is an apple. You think tomatoes are a vegetable. You exist. Does that cover it? Does that cover it? Yeah. We make these kinds of judgments about people all the time. And man, in a few weeks, and I hate to use the S word, but you guys are going to start school here in a few weeks. Oh, no! You said the bad word at Christian camp! You're going to start this in a few weeks, and everybody's going to come in, and you're going to start looking around, because some of these people you haven't seen all summer, and we're just going to start making judgment. We're like, ooh, what happened over the summer? Ooh, man, what happened? Oh! I can't believe she wore that the first day of school. Oh, I can't believe that dude didn't put on deodorant today. Ow! Like we start coming up with all of these things that we start judging people on. And we are missing out on an opportunity to love them the way that God is asking us to love people. We're going to make, we make judgments about other people based on all these things. And instead of wanting God's best, even when they look, dress, sound, walk, smell different than we do. I'll tell you a quick story about me in eighth grade. Okay, so this is really, really dumb. But, so, you know, a couple weeks before eighth grade starts, and then it's the whole thing where my mom is just like, well, we're going to have to go get you some new clothes for eighth grade for back to school. And I hated that stuff. I was like, oh, I want to go and get clothes. And so we're doing all this stuff. And then it came time for mom to say, all right, you're going to need to get some new shoes. And I was like, oh, okay, now you have my attention. And so here's the thing. This is the fall of 1990. So we're going way back. Yeah, you're old. So this is the fall of 1990, and all the dudes that I knew were getting these shoes. You got that picture? All right, here we go. You guys know what these are? Now, at the time, we didn't call them this, but now we would call these Jordan 5s, okay? This would be the fifth iteration of the Air Jordan shoe. And so these are the Jordan 5s. They came in three different colors. A lot of guys that I knew were getting this kind. There was another kind that was called, now it's called the grape, which means it was like white with purple and green on it. And so These were the shoes that most of the guys I knew were getting. And at the time, these shoes were running about $120, which was a crazy amount of money in 1990 for a pair of shoes. Now, if you found Jordan 5s for $120, you'd think you won the lottery. But here's the thing. So all my friends are getting these shoes, and my mom said, well, isn't this what everybody's wearing? Like, yeah. Well, do you want to get a pair of these? I'm like, are we allowed to spend this much money on shoes? Like, I started feeling like, Mom, I can't let you spend that much money. Man, I just got real guilty. I was like, ooh, man, I'd love. So I had an opportunity to get these shoes that everybody else was wearing going to school. And I was like, you know what? There was also part of me that's like, you know what? Everybody's wearing these shoes. I don't want to get these shoes. I want to get different shoes. So instead of getting Michael Jordan's, I got these shoes instead. And these are Bo Jackson's, which Bo Jackson was a big dude when I was in eighth grade. So I didn't get Michael Jordan's. I got Bo Jackson's. And these were like, I don't know, maybe like $20 cheaper. So I'm like saving my mom money. But I roll in with my Bo Jackson's on my first day of school. And I caught wind that somebody said, bro, did you know that Kevin had a chance to get Jordan's and he got Bo Jackson's instead? They're like, are you serious? What an idiot. That's the kind of judgments we make in eighth grade, people. That's the kind of stuff that we say about other people, and we are making judgments based on what they wear, based on what kind of shoes they're wearing, based on what kind of shirt they're wearing. I'm not kidding, y'all. There was a pair of shoes that I saw pretty much every girl that I taught in seventh and eighth grade after Christmas. It must have been some sort of meeting over Christmas where there's like, okay, at Christmas, we're all going to ask for these kind of shoes, and there were these like UGG slippers. Ah, you done told on yourself. Okay. I swear, every girl at Lakeland Christian Academy, seventh and eighth grade, came back wearing the same shoe after Christmas. They were all wearing these UGG slippers. And every girl came in with the Stanley Cup. Not like the Stanley Cup, like we just won the hockey championship, but everybody came in with the Stanley Cup. Yep, right there. Hold it up high. All right. So, and then I heard one of the girls, I caught wind of one of my students saying, oh, she doesn't have a Stanley Cup. She's drinking out of some other little, like, ugly, raggedy water jug. I'm like, who cares? But you care, right? You care. So, listen, hear me out. Hang with me. Hey, reach up. Okay, stick with me. Listen, I'm not here to like pick on y'all because you guys want to wear the thing that's hip and get the thing that's cool. The problem is when we cross over from that and we single out the person who maybe can't afford that stuff or maybe just doesn't want it, and then we're just like, ugh, go sit and have lunch over there with your non-Stanley Cup having a non-UGG shoe wearing butt. Get over there. Like, when we cross over that line and we start separating ourselves from that, James is like, dude, no bueno. We can't be doing that stuff. We got to extend God's best and want God's best for people, even if things are different, which brings us to question number two. So what? So what? Why is this important? This is why this is important, gang, because it is super duper easy to love those people that you like, that you love, that you hang out with, that you guys have similar interests. Like, I got people from different states in here. And like, one of the real clear-cut dividing lines in a lot of these states are the teams that we cheer for. So, I'm not trying to like whip up a whole thing, but I lived 2 years in Illinois. And I learned real quick that there are people in Illinois who like one baseball team, and then there are people in Illinois who like another baseball team. And those two people don't tend to get along. Now, here's the thing. I lived right in the middle of Illinois where there was almost like a dividing line, and there were people in that town who liked one team, and there were people in town who liked the other team, and then they would sit and pick on each other the whole time. Okay. So we will make these judgments, and it's real easy it's real easy for me to find the people who are wearing the team that I like and say, I want to hang out with these people. And it's real easy for me to find the people who are wearing the team that I don't like and say, I don't want to hang out with these people. Those are the it is easy to love those people who like the same stuff. Now, loving everybody else is hard. Loving the people who don't like you is hard. Wanting God's best for the people who you know don't like you, that's hard stuff. That is a hard place to go. It's super easy. And Jesus once again talked about this, and I'm sure James caught it, like, right on. Where Jesus says, if you love those who only love you, big deal. Jesus said, man, even the sinners and the tax collectors and the people that you think are the worst people on the planet are good at that. But let's love the people that are unlovable. Let's love the people who you don't have the same thing in common with. Let's love the people that don't come back from Christmas and are all wearing the same shoes and all drinking out of the same mug. Let's love those people. Now, do you know who's taught me a lot about this idea of loving people and wanting God's best for others? Is my son. I put his picture up a couple nights ago, but my son's name's Ryan. He's 17. He's going to be a senior in high school this year. And so here's just some stuff that you need to know about Ryan. And Ryan's going to come up here and hang out for a couple days, so don't go be like, oh, yeah, I heard about you this morning in chapel. Like, he's going to be like, bro, get back. But here's what I love about him. There are many things that I love about him. There are many things about him that drive me crazy. But there are many things, but one of the things that I love about him is that what you got to understand is from kindergarten up through ninth grade, Ryan went to the same school in Ohio. And so he was around the same kids all the time every year. It was a really small school, so he was around about the same 30 to 35 kids every year at the school. And he went to a good school. But sometimes you can go to a good school and not be in necessarily a great group of kids. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you can be at a good school, but it just seems like everybody in seventh grade is kind of a jerk. Yeah. Amen! All right. Like, and so Ryan, and some of y'all went to this school that I'm talking about, and I'm not kicking on the school, but Ryan was in a class that had a bunch of tough kids in it. Not tough like they want to fight, but tough meaning like you were either in or you were out. And there was a group of kids that were in, and they all hung out, and they were all like super popular, and they did this stuff. And then here's my son, who is not necessarily part of this group because he's not athletic, because he's not, you know, he doesn't necessarily care how he dresses. He's not trying to impress people. He's just trying to go to school and do his thing and come back home so he can do what he wants to do, which is Mario or Zelda or Fortnite or whatever. So that's what he's trying to do. So, but here's the thing. Across kindergarten through ninth grade, I saw my son kind of being like left out of stuff, like not get invited to things, not being hanging out with the cool kids, any of that kind of stuff. I saw all that stuff going on. I saw kids in his class being a jerk to him. And that's super hard as a parent because you just want to grab a kid by the neck and be like, what's wrong with you? Quit talking to my kid like that. So I saw all this stuff going on to my son as he was going through the school. And I'm not saying feel sorry for this kid. I'm just saying what I saw in all of that is, after all that stuff and how he was being treated by kids in his class, I never, ever, and even to this day, I have yet to hear him say a bad thing about anybody he was in class with. Kids who are like jerks to him. And I have yet to hear him say something bad about these kids. And I would say, I'm like, man, that kid's a turd. And he's just like, he's all right. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I saw him be like an absolute jerkwad to you in your face, and he's just like, ah, he's all right. And that's how he is with everybody. Ryan doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care where you grew up. He doesn't care what kind of shoes you wear. He doesn't care what kind of games you like to play. He doesn't care what kind of music you listen to. He doesn't care what kind of movies you watch. He doesn't care what sports team you cheer for. He doesn't care. Like, that is not a motivation for him. He's cool with everybody. He's cool hanging out with everybody. He's cool hanging out by himself. He's just all right with stuff. Now, I don't tell you all this to say, oh, look how good my kid is. I tell you this to show you that shows me how judgy I am about people. How I will make judgments about others based on what they are doing or saying, or because they don't have the same interest I have, or because they don't like the music that I like, or they don't like the TV shows that I like, or they don't like, and I will make judgments about these people. And I will give preferential treatment to certain people based on that stuff. Now, here's the thing, gang. We're going to wrap up here in just a minute. Here's the thing. Here's what I want you to hear. You're going into a new school year here in a few weeks. You don't have to be friends with everybody. I get it. You're going to get back and you've got two or three close friends that you hang out with. And then there's some people that you just don't have common interests with. There's some people that you just don't click. And that's okay. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to be friends with everybody, but you can still want God's best for the people that you don't get along with. Did you know that? You can still want God's best for the people that you don't get along with. Jesus was not friends with everybody. Did you know that? Jesus was friendly with other people, but he was not friends with everybody. How many close friends did Jesus choose? Do you know? 12. Okay, now, did you know that even within that 12, Jesus had an even closer group of 3 that he hung out with? Did you know that? Jesus had 3 inside those 12, inside that group of 12, Peter, James, and John. And Peter, James, and John got to see some stuff that nobody else got to see. Peter, James, and John got to experience the side of Jesus that not everybody got a chance. So even Jesus knew that you could only hang out with so many people. But Jesus still wanted God's best for everybody, including the people that he didn't get along with. Did you know there are people that Jesus didn't get along with in Scripture? Yeah. These are the people that Jesus would say something and they would say, let's throw this guy off a cliff. That happened. Jesus said some stuff that was true. People didn't like it and it said, let's throw this guy off a cliff. They didn't. But Jesus didn't get along with these people. But Jesus still wanted God's best for them. All right. Let's land this plane. That brings us to question 3. Now what? What do I do with this? So here's what I want you to do. Before you get to this right here, I want you to think of somebody specific. Don't just give me this like imaginary person. This is the person that doesn't like this, or this is the person who dresses this way, or this is the person who smells like this, blah, blah, blah. There is a specific person that you know over the years that you have made a judgment about, that you have said, this person must be this because they wear this, or because they do this, or because they smell like this, or because they dress like this, or because they act like that. There is a specific name that you have right now. So whenever you get that name, I want you to be able to, in your heart, remember, it's not just one thing to read God's word, but to do what it says. To be able to say, God, I sincerely want your best for this person. I've got my name in mind. I've got mine. This is somebody that I've made some judgments about and have thought un-Christ-like things about. And to say, God, we don't have to be friends. We don't have to get along or go to all these things and see eye to eye on everything, but I sincerely want your best for this person. To be able to say that and to want God's best and to love others the way that Jesus would have us love other people. Let me pray, and then we'll head out.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.